Hi, friends. Welcome to Think Out Loud with me, a chat cast whose purpose is to prove that getting out of your own head and your own way is not only doable, but profoundly rewarding. Start talking, start connecting, start exercising the universally accepted, irrevocable license to be curious, held by every single one of us, to engage others in constructive and enlightening communication, in connection, in community, in clarity. It may not be super obvious, but in thinking out loud with you, I'm living out loud with you in my own why, shedding light on many of my own dark corners to perhaps illuminate yours in the process. Learning and listening actively with appreciation for others, for their magic, their story, their place in the world, to inform my own choices in living well, because we do have a choice in all this, you guys. All of this beautiful, wonderful, messy, rewarding, hard, sometimes super hard, but beautifully dynamic life. This thing called life. Electric word, life. It means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you that there's something else. Whoa, Nelly. I have had to kick my mental fitness efforts up a notch in the last few days, my friends. Breathing through uniquely uncomfortable situations, being witness to some significant levels of human emotions, my own included, dynamics between players that let's just say I've been upping my solfeggio frequencies, my journaling, my breath work, my Zen is on 10. It's perfect timing then that I spend some time with today's guest. Joel Celentine is exactly who I need to think out loud with today. Hey, Joel, tell my friends and folks who you are. My people need to know you, friend.
Hey, what's up? I'm Joel. I'm just a dude that cares about doing good stuff with awesome people. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, awesome dude. You are an awesome dude that I'm really glad I got a chance to cross paths with. You're sitting in Detroit, I'm sitting in Fort Collins. And before we came on, we're talking about the chance, we've never laid eyeballs on each other except digitally. I'd like to think we will. I'll give you a hug someday.
It'll be the best hug.
Right? I think it'll be awesome. And I need to meet your wife as well. Yeah. I pinged you on this topic of mental fitness that I have found myself noodling on a regular basis. Mental fitness being this concept of resiliency, this concept of humanness, our innate intelligence taking care of us, our own bodies and our minds connected to achieve a balance, and the type of work in a mental fitness plan that might have to be, you know, undertaken includes, you know, some actual exercises and actual, you know, things that relate to the physical fitness realm of things are very much a part of what it means to have a mental fitness plan. To even have a concept of mental fitness. So I wanted to think out loud with you from my own perspective of coming off a couple of pretty raw experiences. When you think about the words mental fitness, what comes to mind? Let's get inside your mind in terms of how you do the mental you.
I don't think I've heard of mental fitness until you've mentioned it. Or maybe I haven't been aware of it or listened for it. But to me, when I hear mental fitness, it's doing the things to make sure that your brain is like super healthy and in check. I think me personally, when I am left purposeless, goalless, selfish thinking, selfish thoughts, stuff like that, life can be pretty miserable. When you're like, just become kind of like either consumed within yourself. And I learned this over time and I'm still learning. So I just feel like I'm a little baby when it comes to mental fitness. But then when I look at my actions, it's like, oh, I'm actually doing a lot better. So then again, you just our minds are just these like so powerful that it's really hard to sometimes keep up with it. So I like to drain my brain. I like to do push-ups with my brain. I think the biggest thing that made an impact on me was practicing gratitude, right? So every day I'll write three things that I'm most grateful for. And I journal every day. So this practice of journaling that I started to do 5.5 years ago. My wife, for Christmas, she gave me this little journal, and I have like stacks of them now on my desk here, but I've probably plowed through, I don't know, 15, 20 of them, something like that. Only this is this tiny, it was this tiny little leather, cute journal thing that she picked up somewhere, like a craft show type of a thing. And maybe 3 inches wide by 4 inches tall type of a deal. And she gave me that, and then this book called The One Thing by Gary Keller, and which is one of my, it is the first book that I always recommend for people. If anyone ever asks, like, hey, what would you recommend? Like, The One Thing by Gary Keller, like instantly. So I, at that time of my life, was in super workaholic mode. I was working around the clock, traveling, way too much. And I was, when I was home, I just wasn't really as present as I should have been as a husband and a father. And so I read this book, which is odd because I'd gone, like, I graduated with an English degree, and then I swore I would never, I would never read a book again. Like, one of those, like, I'm never gonna run. Because I ran track and cross country in college. I was like, I'm never going to run again and screw this reading thing. And I just like put it off for well over a decade. I think it was like 15 years of not reading a book. And I was oddly proud of that. And now I'm not oddly very embarrassed by that, because what I did is I neglected my brain, my soul. I could have been better. I could have done better in those years. And I intentionally chose not to. Which I think is interesting. So anywho, so she gives me this book, and I actually read it, and I also at the same time chose to start journaling on a regular basis, and said, in because in part of this book is it's about, creating one habit and just doing one habit for 66 days in a row. And okay, so I'm like, well, what can I do every single day? I can at least journal, but what is journaling? I don't know. I'm just gonna write some crap out of my head. And then as time has progressed, I've written, I don't even know, tens of thousands of pages. I have no clue. A page or two a day over the course of a couple thousand days, it adds up to be a lot. And so as time has progressed in my mental, what did you call it? Mental exercise, mental fitness.
Mental exercise, mental fitness.
Mental fitness. Yeah. So in my mental fitness, I've expanded on that. So I write on three things I'm grateful for every single day. Three things I'm grateful for. I write a mission statement, which now is a legacy of success, health, prosperity, and goodwill in perpetuity, which is my purpose. And then I just write out whatever's in my head. And maybe it's what happened yesterday. Maybe it's this great idea I have for the future. Maybe it's just how I'm feeling right now, right? And that is one segment of now an entire morning routine that I do. And how I set myself up. So I think mental fitness is really about intentionally choosing to take time and work on being whole mentally, and not just for yourself, but for other people. And as the years have gone by now, I can see by focusing on other people and also focusing on being healthy myself, that I'm actually able to positively impact people. Sometimes in a like very profound way, which is always mind-blowing to me. Like, I can't believe, can't believe someone actually thinks this or whatever, right? So it's been fun. So yeah, mental fitness, man. It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. It's interesting because I think it's been around, the concept of, keeping good mental health, it's still in its infancy, just for all the reasons, the stigma, that all of it. But to have any kind of concept that there should be more and more application, job application, you know, under disabilities is anxiety and depression, is PTSD, is bipolar. So we are bringing the mental into, and I guarantee you in answering a job application that most folks are saying, I prefer not to answer, or I don't have any of this, these disabilities, because, you know, we're still there's still a lot of questions around how somebody deals with, you know, oh, you've got anxiety. That's not something I understand. Like, that, is that manageable? You know, so there's still a lot of questions around it. And education and thinking out loud together to get to a place where we're also supporting others in our efforts. Yeah. You said a few things that I want to like circle up on. Obviously the one thing by Gary Keller, I need to get my hands on. But what struck me is that you refer to that time and you look back on a time and you're able to have a relationship with a chapter of your life where you can say, I look back on it. I was not a good father. I didn't take care of my health, you know, these things. There's an arrival that happens, a flip that happens. I think a lot of folks wonder about that flip and don't think that they have that flip in them to, that they'd ever be able to look back on a life and admit and own, mm-hmm. own the parts that we didn't do well out mm-hmm. loud, so that they can empower us moving forward. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's, I agree with you. I think accountability can be very difficult, but I think if in order for you to, in order for most people and probably everybody to like improve and grow, you first have to, you have to find problems. So if you find a problem, you understand where the problem is or what's caused the problem or most likely caused the problem. And then if there's a solution for that, then you can fix that problem. You say, well, I was like this, and then I realized it was creating more problems in my life than good. And so I found the core of what the problem was, and then I fixed it. And then you can be proud of the fact that you made a change instead of continue to just go at it the same way over and over again. And it can be scary, absolutely, to take leaps. There's no question about it. But then when you do take maybe you need to take a little leap, maybe you take a little bounce step, right? And just make a modest change that you feel you can control. You don't have to tell anybody, you know, I'm just gonna do this one little thing and I'm gonna do this every day for a little bit. I'm not going to tell anybody. And it's your own little secret about how you're trying to improve. And then when you do it, and then you have a positive outcome from there, and you can look back and say, whoa, okay, I did that with this little thing. I wonder what would happen if I did it with like a little bigger, right? So it's okay to chip away at little things over time, because even the little things do make a difference. And I think about oftentimes about how, okay, so I was just in Yosemite last week.
I saw your pictures were fantastic.
Yeah, it's like three pictures, but
they were each fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I found this little spot called Angie Falls in around some lake, forget already. And I was like on this hike, and I just got dirty, and I just jumped right in the falls and like hung out in this pool all by myself. And I was just reflecting and thinking about that. And I was was blown away at the rocks were these they were carved like skulls almost, but in water over time, just kind of carved these holes into the granite rock over obviously a long period of time and made these little pools. And I got to sit in this pool. And I was really grateful for the fact that over the thousands and thousands of years that water had slowly been carving this granite rock, I got to sit in this pool of water, and it's really cool. And it made me think, it's kind of like how life is, right? So good or bad, if you're doing something that's not healthy for you, or if you're not helping yourself, right? That water can like really carve holes or cracks into your life in a negative way, or you can flip it around and say, hey, if I just do one little thing positively over and over and over again every single day, that can also carve a path in your life in a positive way. It doesn't happen overnight and it could take years, but eventually over time, there is this improvement and you can look back and you can say, oh, wow, cool. There's a waterfall now. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? So something like that. It's a thought I'm working on.
I like it. I like the concept of waterfalls. I'm drawn to water myself. I was raised on a river. This little 70-foot trailer and my window, my bedroom window. I actually, now that I think of it, I had the best bedroom. I was at the back of the trailer. I had two windows. I'm just having this epiphany. I had the best bedroom in the world. The backyard was the Los Pinos, which is a little river that runs in southern Colorado from Vicedo Reservoir down to Bayfield, runs through the middle of Bayfield and down to Ignacio and on down to New Mexico. Anyway, I grew up running up and down this this river, and I was just there over the weekend and just saying hi to my brother. And I realized that, yeah, the water has a significant part in my mental fitness. I realized that this past weekend.
This week?
I've always known it, but I sat there by the river and just realized how fundamental water is, just the hearing of it, the access to it, the calm, the what it helps mentally do for me is something I have to live near water. I have to.
And I love that. I love the fact that you came to that in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I think I've always known, but you know, it finally gels for you, right? You're sitting in a pool all by yourself and you're like, yeah, I could do this for a little while longer, right? Feels good. I could do some things that feel good. When we talk about intention and putting our energy behind what we do, how do you, I'm thinking about the ripple effect, you know, that you kind of allude to as well, when we think about water and just, you know, when we jump into these different pools with our own energy and we have intentions, and the energy that come with those intentions, and in our case, you know, they're all coming from us uniquely as humans. Every part of our, you know, energetic being has an effect on everything around us. How do you manage intentions in the big crazy world, where you're bouncing off other people's energy and maybe lack of mental fitness plans? How do you manage your energy in the mayhem?
I do start with my morning routine, and that is a space that's just for me. And that puts me in a very powerful place at the very beginning of the day. There's a term called a learned extrovert, right? So it's an introverted person who learned how to be extroverted for whatever reason, right? You do find that a lot of times with like CEO type people where they're actually like very introverted, but they come across as super charismatic or whatever. So oftentimes people think, hey, like Joel's in a bunch of group of people and he's like, you know, like lots of energy and all that. But really what that does is that wears my batteries down big time.
Right.
Right. So exactly. You know, so I'm like, so my batteries get like drained relatively quickly the more time I spend with a lot of people. And then if there are people that are, let's say they have just a strong negative energy, I typically just try to detach myself from that situation wherever it is, and also try to insert some positivity in a non-obvious way. But at 1 o'clock every day, I have blocked out of my calendar, which is another protective time that I've created for myself. And I take a nap. And if I don't take a nap, like I'll meditate and then I'll take a nap or vice versa, one or the other. And it's an entire hour. And I don't, like, I just don't care. I'll tell anybody, I'm like, you just can't talk to me at 1 o'clock. And I like protect that. But what that does is that recharges me. And then the rest of the day, I'm like, I'm ready to go.
I love it.
And so I make sure that I do that every day. Weekends, weekdays, it doesn't matter.
Just
I don't care
that.
What big meetings that are happening that day. I just protect that time. So that's an area of really is like mental. It is an absolute mental health thing. And then I get way more done as a result of it from like work stuff mm-hmm. or whatever. And then and I do exercise 5 days a week mm-hmm. or more. I have a bet that an ongoing bet with my best friend from college, Corey.
And Corey, if you're listening, this is out there on the waves. You've been challenged and it's on.
I kick his ass all the time, but yeah, cool. Sorry, Corey, but it's true. He would agree. But so the goal is we both have to exercise 5 days a week for a minimum of 15 minutes a day. And if you really think about it, anyone can do something for just 3 minutes a day, which is where this concept started. You can do a couple squats and a couple push-ups and, you know, you can do something for 3 minutes, yep. Which really started to kickstart a morning routine for me. That mentality of, you know, I can do this for three. I can do 15 push-ups or whatever it was at the time. And I, you know, and then expand from there. But this little challenge that I have with my friend definitely keeps me going. And enough, because if I don't exercise 5 days that week, then I have to buy him dinner. It's on Excel. And then if he doesn't exercise, it's the same thing. And I just prefer to get free dinner from Corey.
Look, he lives locally, so this can be rewarded in real time.
That's true. Yeah.
That's awesome. And Detroit has a mass amount of fantastic fooderies, food establishments.
Yeah. We go over by his place. He's in like Troy. Where
is that not cool?
You know, it's great. Troy's great for you know, I'm in like gritty Detroit. Let's get into it kind of a thing. And Troy is more like suburban, really nice area for sure.
Yeah. I need to get to downtown Detroit and say hi. You brought a thought to my brain around, you know, getting the preparation for, you know, inserting time into your calendar, purposely. I had a big day yesterday. It's been on my calendar for weeks. Rather than wait till the morning of, you know, to start managing my mental mindset around it. I know there's a big, gnarly, hairy, audacious, fantastic, challenging situation coming up. Let me back out a few days of prep, you know, like working on my emotional cardio, if you will, you know, but really tapping into, you know, who, frankly, it sounds crazy, but just who I am and who I want to be, and imagining myself in the day, how it's flowing, listening to positive music to implant those thoughts, journaling around my expectation, you know, expectations that I can leave behind, because, you know, that's the first place I'm going to be disappointed, you know, be open, all of the things that I need to do to take responsibility and accountability for how I walk into that room and act. That's a big deal to me, to be responsible for the energy we put out there and to be accountable for either the life force or the kind of dulling force that we can emit by just coming into contact with people. And the choices we have in, you know, there's negative cyclones that, peace on you, I don't need to get involved. There's no pencil I'm going to put in those spokes, right? Mm-hmm. Permission granted to just honk and proceed. But for those of us that are in this, the concept of being accountable for our emotions, how we talk about them, how we relate to them professionally, what space we give folks for their mental health. We're all still learning. Are people, you know, fucking with the system, taking, we've always fucked with the system. They were called personal, they were called floaters, in-house floaters. I need to take a mental health day. That's what it finally turned into. And then it kind of, you know, it's growing. And so there's more discussion around what it means to be accountable for these emotions that we have, which I think leads to the possibility of superpowers. Because if we are aware of them, we can manage them.
Yeah.
I have a dear friend who passed away last year whose saying was, awareness is just the booby prize. It's what you do with it.
Sure. Yeah.
That's where the rewards are. What you do with the awareness of what you're not, you know, you're not quite doing right, you know, the things you want to change. How do you pass this on to your kiddos? How do you, you're setting an example with the way that you're living, infusing our kiddos with this whole, you know, you and I have to come to this point of realization. We've come to these flips in the script, these turning points where it's like, okay, that's enough. I'm going to reset everything before I, you know, lose it.
Yeah.
Trying to teach my 13-year-old and leading with example there. How do you interact with your own around, you know, the mental side of being a kid and growing up and all of that? Is that?
Oh gosh, here we go.
Is that a whole nother episode?
Could be, yeah. First of all, I would just like to applaud you for some of the decisions that you made this year. And I think you made some really difficult decisions to focus on just your own awesomeness. And I am like grateful that I got to be a part of, you know, the last, I've known you for what, a year and a half now, maybe?
Maybe.
Two, something? I don't know. Feels feels like years, but I
know.
Right. And to observe quietly the path and the journey that you're on right now, I think it's just, it's so cool. I'm like really impressed with your balls to just like really get this thing out there, you know? And I think you just need to keep doing it because this is your space that you're in right now. So high five on you. And your 13-year-old will one day look at you and say, wow, mom made some choices I didn't quite understand at that age, but I get it now. And they're going to look up to you in a pretty remarkable way, I believe. I chose my family. I quit this, like, on paper, it was the best job ever. I got to stay in the Ritz-Carlton's. I was running this business that was doing remarkably well. And meanwhile, my family was slipping away a second time. And so that was a space where I'm like, I will not lose my family. And I chose to make a decision to just walk away from it. It was at the time, it was crazy. I was just telling my wife this yesterday. That decision in that moment, I believe most people who knew me were just kind of like, what is he doing? This is nuts. And I started a business. And it ended up being certainly one of the best decisions I've ever made, because I was able to create space for myself and kind of create a business around my total values and belief systems and so on, and do something that I'm like, I can't believe this happened type of a deal. My kids at the time, they were 14 and 15, two girls. And I was watching them just, you know, they're divorced family type of a deal. And at that time I was like, psychologists, they're fine, you know? And I will say one of the, I've regretted a few things in my life. And one of the biggest things that I regret with my kids is I didn't put them through counseling aggressively after like a divorce, right? So, but I've communicated this with them now. And they got to watch me as getting closer to adulthood make massive changes to my life. And I'm still doing it years and years later, consistently, day in and day out, to a point where this is the only thing that they know about their dad. And there is this blip of something in the past of what he may have been like, but they were also teenagers, and it's already becoming very blurry to them.
Yeah.
My daughter called me up the other day and she's like, "Hey dad," she chose to go right into the work world instead of going to college, which is something I supported. I do believe in college, but I also believe that it might not be for everybody.
Yeah.
And Madeline, she calls me up and she's like, "Dad, I just want you to know, I remember when I left college, you said you need to educate yourself because there's no one there that's going to educate you anymore. And so I've been reading, Dad, and I've read all these books, blah, blah, blah." And one of the books that she's currently reading, like right now, is A 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, which is my number two book that I read after the Gary Keller book. And I was like, "Oh my God." So I think what they do is they observe from the distance and they see if you're actually going to stick to it.
Yeah.
And then now that I know that, it's starting to come to fruition now. Now that gives me extra ammo to be even better and to keep this thing going and keep kind of pushing myself to continuously be better and give back and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this kind of, it's an interesting feedback loop that I'm currently in right now.
It's an energetic arm link. It just is like, whoop, instead. Yeah, it's awesome. You have incredibly beautiful girls, and they are lucky to have the example of you. And I appreciate your kind words to me. And I think what we share is like jumping into that pool, cannonball into that pool with kindness and love and hope, knowing that, you know, we're linking up and the kids are watching, and it's all possible and doable, and we are here for each other. And that's what mental fitness has kind of turned my own attention to, is, geez Louise, there's some fantastic folks that, you know, we're all in this together. And if we can all get facing in the right direction, man, we're unstoppable. We're unfrickin' stoppable, right?
We really are. You know, our brains are just like this. Our brains oftentimes can limit us, but when you take off the limitations, take off the handcuffs, and stretch yourself and think about, okay, you know, normal people do whatever, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be abnormal in a positive way, and I'm going to do something that far exceeds what normal people would do. And you can really stretch yourself. And the interesting thing about stretching yourself is you can put a big goal out there, but then once you put the goal out there and you know where your destination is going to be, you know, now it's out in the universe. You start picking up different pieces of feedback as you're along your journey, that starts to guide you along to where you're going to go. The other interesting thing is you can go backwards once you've set that direction. Like, this is where I'm going to go. I'm on this map. I see the map. Here it is. I'm going to go down this road, and this is what the destination is going to be. And then just taking one step in action, it's remarkable how quickly you can get to that next space.
Right.
Just by taking that one little step of action.
Yeah.
And I think the normal thing to do is to say, "I'll do it later."
Mm-hmm.
You know. And instead, it's like taking action.
Yeah. Yeah. I was compelled this morning just to get moving. I need action. It just step forward with, and that's what this is. That's what this Think Out Loud with Me is action. Get on. I had a hard day. I'm not in the mood to talk. I don't know if I can hold it together. I don't know, but I've committed and I'm going to commit to it a little bit more and continue to be vulnerable because in it is my own mental fitness and my own, yeah, my own sanity amidst the mayhem. So, Joel, thank you.
Yeah.
Come back and think out loud with me.
All right.
That was hard. Any closing words? Can I come see you in Detroit? People, I need everybody to know that you, I know that you are just a dude doing awesome. You aren't just a dude doing awesome stuff.
Yeah.
You do have an agency called Karma Jack. It's how I came to know you. And I refer to because I think you guys are badass. So I'm going to put some ditty about your badass agency in my episode notes. I'll get that done whether you like it or not. But any parting words for the episode and before we speak again?
Yes, I believe if you would like to do something, you can actually do it. And you just have to commit to it, decide, commit, and then stick to it. And it just takes one little step every little day that eventually you're going to get to the place that you want to go. It doesn't matter how big or how small this place may be, you can get there. There's no doubt. You just have to just do it.
Keep moving forward. Thank you.